Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. We've been talking the last couple days a lot about jobs, toured the state of Wisconsin, talking about our agenda to get Wisconsin working again, and how that ties into what we've been doing the first 4 or 5 weeks of this legislative session of this year, how we brought Republicans and Democrats together to pass some of the most aggressive pro-jobs pieces of legislation in the country. And we're going to continue to do that. Appreciate people like Senator Tim Cullen and others starting to reach out. We worked with Senator Cullen in the past on jobs initiatives, and I believe we can again in the future. But along the way, we want to continue to talk about the benefits of what I signed into law on Friday. Today in particular, I want to talk about the benefit that our budget reforms bring to school districts all across the state of Wisconsin. In a minute, you're going to hear from one of our superintendents and some of our school district officials about some of the benefits they have in their district as they foresee. We've obviously heard from a lot of folks. We had some others who came down today who continue to meet with our policy team to talk about getting a better and fuller understanding of what's not only in place with the budget reforms, but what's in place with the biennial budget proposal and how that may impact their districts as well. But it's important. We're releasing today this information about all the school districts here in the state of Wisconsin, from big and small and everywhere in between, from rural, suburban, and urban districts, and the benefits that our budget reforms provide to them. Overall, as this document points out, on an annual basis, there are $488.7 million worth of savings. Those are conservative estimates because they're based on the pension and health care contributions we've talked about time and time again. $488.7 million worth of savings. That is in contrast to the reductions in general school aids in the budget for all these collective districts, which equate to $391.1 million. Obviously, doing the math, that is a $78.9 million benefit to our school districts. Now, I would stress again, that number alone that's on this sheet, the $78.9 million of net savings overall, is a conservative estimate. That means the overwhelming majority of our school districts benefit, and a handful are right on the margins, do not. But that's just of those savings. That doesn't account for the additional savings that are afforded as a part of this budget reform bill. Again, we've talked a lot about a pension and a health care contribution, which this finally allows all of our school districts and our local governments, as well as the state government, to achieve throughout these reforms. But there are additional reforms that come from both the budget repair bill as well as the budget bill itself. One of the first reminders is that while we've talked about for state employees a 5.8 and a 12.6% contribution for health care and for health, or excuse me, for health insurance premiums and for the basic pension retirement contribution, school districts are not locked into that amount. If a school district wants more or less than where they're at, they have the ability to go up. In fact, it's important to remember that the average amount for middle-class taxpayers in the state of Wisconsin is 20%. What we're talking about as a target for state employees and what many of our school districts are now adopting is about half of what middle-class taxpayers in the state. That's important to remember. I was at a company yesterday where they pay 45%. They love to have a deal like what we're proposing at 12.6%, but we don't lock that in. We give school districts maximum flexibility. So whether it's 12.6, whether it's 15, or whether it's somewhere fluctuating in that area, in every case, they can accommodate and adjust what they offer at the local level to make sure they have maximum flexibility to preserve jobs and ultimately to protect the curriculum. That's really what this is all about in the classroom. In addition, the chart I mentioned, the savings on here do not account for the ability to go out and achieve savings through changing who provides their health insurance. You've heard me talk about this before, but we believe conservatively, using estimates from the Wisconsin Association of School Boards, that while not every district, many of our school districts across the state are locked into buying their health insurance to the WA Trust. That is a company owned by the teachers union. The bill that we passed and I signed into law on Friday frees them from that mandate. Frees them from the mandate through collective bargaining to do that, and instead they can buy health insurance either through the state health insurance plan for state employees, or they could buy it through a lower cost option on the private market. Those numbers, we believe conservatively, are $68 million worth of savings statewide. That's on top of the savings I just mentioned in this document. In addition, we provide relief from mandates. There's a whole assortment of mandates, and for years, school board officials all across the state have time and time again been asking for relief from mandates from the state. This budget document we propose for the next 2 years provides just that sort of relief. And so those savings are not accounted for. Those would be on top of the savings in this document. And we've also seen a fair amount of retirements. Again, school districts are able to account and adjust for that. Now, that provides savings as well that they can account for without being locked into collective bargaining agreements. All those things are benefits out there. Now, in a minute, you're going to hear from some of our school leaders as an example, a snapshot in one particular district of what it means to other districts across the state of Wisconsin. But it's not just about money. Probably the biggest benefit we have, and having two sons in the public schools, I know how important this is, isn't just the monetary savings, isn't just the fact that, and we've seen again today more stories about the massive layoffs in California. We've seen them in the past in New York. We've seen them in other states where both Democrat and Republicans are in charge as the governor's office. We've seen in case after case where they're cutting billions of dollars from schools and local governments without giving them the tools. In those cases, they're forcing layoffs. But the other big advantage, beyond protecting middle-class jobs and middle-class taxpayers, is the fact that in these reforms, we give school leaders the ability to make decisions based on hiring and firing, based on merit, based on performance, based on putting the best and the brightest in our classroom. And I don't know about all you, but as a parent, that's what I want. I want to reward the great teachers out there. I want them to be the ones that are the last on the list when they're thinking about making changes, not the first on the list. I want them to be the ones that are always at the top of the list to keep in the classroom. And we've seen that hasn't happened in the past. In Milwaukee, the Milwaukee Public Schools, which, by the way, under this plan, have a net benefit of $7.2 million, just like other school districts do. Madison, in fact, adopted some of the same savings we've called for in this reform bill, and they literally talked in today's newspaper about the fact that there's so much savings they might actually be able to lower their tax burden. I don't know that they'll do that, but they said they could be under the proposals they locked into place, and those are the same sorts of reforms we're talking about in our budget repair bill. But in Milwaukee a year ago, we had a young woman who was awarded the Outstanding New Teacher throughout the state by the Council on English Teachers, and a week later she got a layoff notice. That's because under the previous collective bargaining agreements that were intact before our reform was signed into law, collective bargaining in many of these school districts mandated decisions on hiring and firing based on seniority and union contract and not based on performance and merit. That's got to change. Those are things that will improve our schools and ultimately not only help our kids, but reward great teachers and great educators. Now that I mentioned these things, I want to turn it over to Paul Kreitzer, who is the superintendent at the New Berlin School District, who's going to talk about his experience, and he's going to